the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team.
Welcome to today's edition of Lifetime Income. I'm Justine Hall. We talk a lot on this show about the different ways in which we can maintain a healthy lifestyle because, as Jim Poplava frequently says, why save up your entire life for retirement if you're not healthy enough to actually enjoy it when the time comes? Joining me on the show today is Ashley McHugh, who holds a doctorate in physical therapy. Thanks for joining us, Ashley.
Happy to be here.
So I know a lot of the patients you work with deal with running-related injuries, and part of your work focuses on developing exercises that can help them run more safely and effectively. And running has become more prevalent in the U.S. In 2013 alone, 19 million people in the U.S. finished a road race, so anything from like a 5K to a marathon, and that's a lot of runners. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Ashley, as a runner, and how that correlates to the work that you do.
Sure. I grew up playing sports, soccer in particular, and so running is a large part of that. I tell people I'm born to run. My father is a runner. He still runs at 68 years old, still competing in races. Shorter now instead of marathons and half marathons. But I have a build that just allows me to run forever. I really enjoy it. And so it's just a large part of my life. And of course, a large part of what I introduce into my own practice as a physical therapist. I see a lot of patients that are trying to get into running or jogging, as you know, it is a very important way to stay healthy and keep your body fit. And so it's a great way to feel happy and healthy about yourself as well. So I love talking with other runners about how to keep them healthy and continuing running.
So I wanted to start with this massive study that came out in 2017, conducted by Dr. Duck Chu Lee of Iowa State University, and it found that compared to non-runners, runners tend to live an additional 3 years, even if they run slowly or sporadically or smoke, drink, or even overweight. And that's a pretty significant finding. And why running is such a uniquely potent agent remains unclear, but Dr. Lee said it's likely because running combats many of the common risk factors associated with early death, such as high blood pressure and extra body fat. I think it's important to note that this study isn't saying you'll receive these benefits only if you're an ultra marathon runner or someone who's, you know, running every single day. These benefits in longevity appear, Dr. Lee noted, after only running for 10 minutes a day. And I think that's pretty amazing. So what are some tips you have for someone who might want to start running or maybe who hasn't run in a while and it's their first time getting back into it after taking a few years off?
Well, I always say you got to tailor it to yourself. Whether you have a sedentary or semi-active or very active lifestyle, you have to know what your body can do. And the only way to know is to trial it out. So, you know, you might want to go for a 5-minute walk if that's where you're at, or possibly a 5-minute jog, or even a faster paced run, and increase your time from there based on how you feel after or how you feel the next day. Check in with yourself often, either before the run or after the run, and definitely the next morning to make sure that you feel okay to either increase your time or increase your intensity or speed in that run. So it's definitely an individualized program. Everybody's different. So I always tell people, do not compare yourself to your spouse, your kids, your neighbor, the person who you're listening to on TV or in a podcast. Gotta make it for you.
Yeah, definitely. And that's exactly it. You know, people can enjoy running at any age, which is important to note. You know, you don't have to start running when you're in your 20s to reap all of these health benefits. You know, many people have actually began running when they're in their 50s and have newfound time to dedicate to exercise after their kids have grown or once they're retired. And so in starting to run, are there certain surfaces you think someone should gravitate toward or avoid when searching for a running or walking route?
That's a great question. So obviously we know cement and concrete is hard impact on our bodies, but also, and so thus trail running or running in grass or softer tracks would be better for your body. But with those come also instability of surfaces. And some people, when you're first starting to run, will sustain some sort of an ankle injury if they are on an unstable surface, such as trail running, and they step on a rock wrong and are more prone to rolling their ankle. So I think the best way to start is to just go for a light jog wherever is most convenient for you, because even finding a location and the surface that you're running on might be a deterrent if it becomes too hard to perhaps drive 5 miles down to the school track that you have to go to. Over time, you'll build up that stability and the strength, and then you can start trying different terrains. But if you notice that you have pain right away from running on concrete or asphalt, definitely try new surfaces safely.
Right. Surfaces are really important. I think that's something that can often get overlooked. Also, that can get overlooked is, you know, with a lot of runners, and I know this is true with myself as well, don't focus on the importance of developing muscle strength and flexibility. But this is kind of key in maintaining an injury-free body. So what are some areas that you think runners specifically should target?
Yeah, so actually, the combo of flexibility, strength, and then obviously the cardiovascular health that you get from running is so important. You have to have the full circle. A lot of times when runners come into me, they're missing a piece of the puzzle. So maybe they're not stretching properly enough. And, you know, running is, without getting too philosophical, is basically a momentum-based exercise. And there's a lot of overuse injuries that can be involved with that. So combating that with both a healthy strength training program and a flexibility stretching kind of program is really, truly essential to making sure that you can run farther, longer without injury.
And what are some of the common running injuries you see your patients come in with?
One of the biggest culprits is the classic IT band pain. There's a muscle called the TFL, tensor fascia lata, that turns into the IT band, the iliotibial band. There can be a lot of pain and problems associated with that band, even a syndrome called patellofemoral pain syndrome. So I always recommend right off the bat stretching, a good standing IT band stretch, possibly even a kneeling IT band stretch, in which case you're really stretching the muscle associated with the IT band, so the TFL that I had mentioned earlier, and a good quad stretch can go a long way. So it's important to keep a lot of the components that attach to your hips and your knees flexible, such as the hamstrings, the quads, the IT band or the TFL, and especially the calf. So sometimes runners will have a lot of feet or ankle or Achilles tendon issues, some tightness up into the calves. So making sure you're getting a good calf stretch and possibly even a plantar fascial stretch is also equally as important.
And those are areas that are really important to focus on, especially the longer you run. And research shows that the average person steadily loses muscle mass after age 30, which can represent 30 to 40% decline in muscle mass by the time someone hits age 70. So what are some types of cross-training exercises you recommend runners do as they age and have been running for a longer period of time?
That's right. And that's a really important other piece of the puzzle. So a lot of times we go for runs and we think we're being active and we're strong because we're runners. But in fact, you're right. We lose that muscle mass just from the process of aging. And so it's also equally as important to combat strengthening and pain and relieve pain by making sure you have strong muscles, in particular to make sure you don't have any of the patellofemoral pain syndrome issues or IT band associated pain. We focus a lot on glute strengthening, particularly the glute medius, which is a muscle in the upper outer side of your hip and backside that really is essential to stabilizing the pelvis and providing the knee stability while running. And I also would say that making sure you have strong quads, so doing things, simple things, like remember way back in gym class in when your PE teacher was making you do wall squats, you all had
yes.
to put your back to the wall, lower down, and hold for those painful 30 seconds or possibly even 10 seconds, or if your coach was really mean, even a minute. But something as simple as that does a whole lot of good for your quads and your body, making sure you stay strong in the muscles that are really helping to propel you while running. And that's a regression. If you feel good with a wall squat and you feel like you can hold that wall squat for a good 30 seconds, maybe 3 or 4 times without dying, maybe a squat is a good activity for you. We train the glute medius in a lot of different ways, but one way we can do that is just by simply standing and balancing on one leg and making sure we hold our pelvis nice and strong, or lying down on our side and doing an activity called a clamshell where our knee kind of opens up like a little clamshell and we feel a burn right in that backside glute area. I also like giving bridges, lying down flat on your back with your knees bent up and really squeezing the glutes, lifting your hips up, doing a bridge type motion, helping to train that glute maximus. So really simple activities that can be done easily within 5 minutes, and you get a good burn in all the important areas to keep your body nice and strong.
And so with that, kind of maybe doing like a yoga class once a week, or maybe doing swimming, certain other exercises or types of maybe exercise classes that you think complement running in terms of doing some of those exercises and poses you mentioned.
Yeah, you nailed it. I mean, cross training is really the most important thing. So if you want to interlace your week with a little yoga class or possibly a little circuit training class, and even better, swimming, something that's non-impact, especially as we age, something that's non-impact such as biking or swimming really helps to keep our joints and our body strong and healthy and not be subjected to injuries due to running and kind of persistent running. So that's really key.
Right. And so also to that, there's an importance to taking rest days. I know it can feel like you want to get out and go each day once you start running because you love the endorphins and it just feels great to be running. But I know it's really important to, you know, take a rest day, even if you think, well, I'm only doing a few miles each day. But can you speak to the importance of making sure that there is sort of a balance there?
So if you are experiencing pain with running every day, the biggest thing is probably an overuse. So if you would like to interlace that second day of running, instead of doing the run, the maybe two, if that's your short mile, doing a small yoga class followed by some weight training, you're going to feel just as good. You're going to feel yoga is not just about stretching. It builds really strong and lean muscles. It's actually a very challenging activity. It's an active stretching activity. So you're going to feel like you got a good workout, even if you did just a yoga class for an hour or 30 minutes. So it's important if you're experiencing pain with everyday running to take those off days and take those rest breaks and try to mix some cross training.
Mm-hmm. And with that, so if someone's starting to run, you know, you said sort of starting out in increments and sort of working your way up, would you suggest maybe setting a goal of, say, trying to do a 5K, or what's kind of a way you would suggest someone starting out to get into a running program?
Yeah, well, I find that races aren't for everyone. Sometimes if, you know, you set a lot of goals for yourself, and if you can't make those goals or you feel like you didn't do as well in the race, it sometimes can turn people off towards running. So I really just encourage people to start wherever they're at. Pick a loop, a beautiful scenery that they like being outdoors in, or even if they enjoy being on a treadmill, watching that favorite television show, maybe half of it, and working your way up to the full episode. But just any kind of running that makes you feel good. If you are a competitive person and you do like racing, absolutely a 5K, something where it's only 3.1 miles, can be a really great start. For some people, that 3.1 miles is a ton. So, you know, even just the goal of 1 mile is good enough.
Also, I think it's important to get running buddies and people and friends who you enjoy running with, because that definitely makes the activity a lot more fun and helps you want to, you know, keep going. So do you think also, you know, finding a group to run with can help in terms of having a coach who's knowledgeable, or having friends who you run with? Do you have patients that have groups and that's been a beneficial thing for them?
Yeah. Camaraderie, accountability, making sure also you keep each other healthy, you know, knowing when somebody's got an aches and pain and encouraging them to maybe perhaps take the day off or go to yoga or see their local physical therapist is a really great way to make sure that you stay running. I think a lot of my patients have at least a friend or a family member that they say that they really enjoy spending their exercise time with. And that, I think, helps keep you healthy and longer into life, and making sure that you value health for longer and doing activities to stay healthy.
So the study that I mentioned earlier, which was conducted by Dr. Lee, which I'll also make sure to link out to on financialsense.com, where this interview is posted. And that study found that those who run can add up to an additional 3 years onto their life, which researchers calculate to be pretty much every hour you run, you add another 7 hours onto your life, which is a pretty compelling reason to start running. The study didn't name other activities or exercises that can have an equal effect on longevity, but in your experience, say if someone's just running is not for them, but they do want to become more active, what's something else you would suggest for someone who does want to start having a more active lifestyle, but running just isn't for them?
I think that biking is a really great secondary. It still allows you to get outside and feel like you're outside enjoying some fresh air and getting a really good exercise with eliminating that impact. I also mentioned swimming, and so did you earlier. Swimming is another great activity to make sure that you get that cardiovascular health and training. You know, you're looking for, I think some of the benefits of running is that you get that cardiovascular training. You're making yourself heart healthy. So other cardiovascular-like activities will hopefully accomplish that same goal and that same health goal. So things like biking or swimming. And if, you know, jogging or running isn't for you, a fast-paced walk actually is really helpful and feels just as good. As long as something that makes you feel like you're on the borderline of, you know, breathing heavily and you're really making that heart work is going to benefit you.
I know we talked about the importance of rest days, but also how frequent would you suggest someone does get out and be active a week? Twice a week, three times a week, or, you know, what sort of the frequency you would suggest to someone?
It depends on the amount of time. I might quote this incorrectly, but I believe the American Heart Association recommends that you're out for 30 minutes every single day. So that's a lot of time that you need to build into your daily life to get outside and do something active. Now, I always tell people if you can get an hour three or four times a day, days a week, instead of the 30 minutes a day, that might be equally as good. Making sure that you just are being active is the key.
Well, Ashley, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It was a pleasure speaking with you. And I think if we can take one thing away from today, it's that age old adage, which is use it or lose it, because exercise really is that important, especially as we age. So Ashley, if our listeners would like to contact you, I know you said they can do so by emailing aandrhealthmedia@gmail.com. And that's the letter A, the word and, the letter R, healthmedia@gmail.com.
Yeah, I love talking to other runners and helping people out to make sure that they stay running. So feel free to contact me anytime. And this has really been a true pleasure. I think you really nailed it. If you don't use it, you lose it. So we really like to promote health and well-being in all shapes and forms. So not just running, but in every way that suits you as an individual and your lifestyle. So that's really key. I've really enjoyed being on. Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much, Ashley.
The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.